It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Farah. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, he lost the war, but is celebrated as a clever strategist. We'll hear the story of Chief Blackhawk coming up in Curious Wisconsin.
First, with yesterday's release of the annual fiscal report from Wisconsin's Department of Administration, we got the clearest picture yet of the health of the state's finances leading up to the gubernatorial elections, but that picture is still a bit murky.
The budget ended the last fiscal year with a $517 million surplus, which is over $200 million less than projected when the legislature passed the budget last year, but it's unclear how these numbers will affect the state's projected budget shortfall. And with some numbers still being crunched, it's also uncertain whether or not the next legislature will have to take emergency action.
Joining us now with some perspective on the budget situation is Todd Berry, president of the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance. Todd, welcome back to Central Time.
Well, thanks for having me again.
So now that we are in the lead up to the election, the stakes on reports like this, they get raised a little bit. So with that in mind, what's in this report that's most important for voters to understand?
Well, I think the first thing to say is it's a snapshot of a year that ended at the end of June. So, I mean, the numbers are already a little bit on the old side. And it's sort of a glass half empty, glass half full story in that we had a $759 million surplus the year before. And now we've pulled it down to $517 million. And the reason is we're spending more than we're bringing in the biennium, but this past year. But the budget is balanced simply because we had a large enough surplus. The good news, in a sense, is that we, with the revenues dropping a little bit, we were probably on track for the surplus to have dropped to something over $440 million, and by screwing down the spending a little bit, they were able to raise that number to $517 million. So, you know, there's talking points for everyone.
Right. Well, speaking of glass half empty, glass half full, you know, we see the word surplus, and we think, well, that's good, but it's significantly smaller than what was projected. I don't know. How do you weigh those two things?
Well, no, it is and it isn't. Yes, we had a revenue surprise this spring that pulled it down by 281. We've also had a spending, retrenchment that pulled it up by 70 to 80 million. But underlying this all, I think it's important to remember that we are in the middle of several phased tax cuts, one going back as far as 2011. So you would expect these, you know, overall budget numbers, whether it's surpluses or tax collections or whatever, to be coming down a little bit, and that is indeed reflected in this past year and what will be, you know, this year, we're spending more than we're bringing in.
Well, I guess one question that seems to be unanswered at the moment is, are these permanent fixes when we look at any kind of surplus, or is this sort of just postponing, you know, the inevitable, having to pay some bills down the road and pay for some other stuff?
Yeah, I raised that with the Wisconsin State Journal yesterday. You know, it's good news that they were able to save a little bit more money than they thought and boost the reserve by $70-80 million. But, you know, there's a couple of ways you can do that. One is you can permanently get rid of a program. Another is you can decide you're not going to hire people in May or June. You'll simply hire them in July. So there's a lot of different ways to move these numbers up and down when there's a fixed time period, June 30, that cuts off the fiscal year. And that's nothing new for politicians of either party. There have been, over the last 10 to 15 years, lots of examples of moving things backwards or forwards across a fiscal year.
So when do we get more solid answers to that question?
Well, I mean, we have solid answers in the annual fiscal report through June of last year. I mean, the books closed on a cash basis. You know, we have $517 million to the good. What we don't know is whether the slowdown in tax collections earlier in the year will continue, or whether the collections will resume acceleration. This has been a very hard year to read. I mean, we had a first quarter where the nation actually contracted. And then we had a second quarter where we grew fairly nicely. And it's sort of been like that for the last few years. You'll have good times, you'll have bad times. So it becomes very hard to say with any certainty what the tax collections are going to end up at, and therefore, you know, whether there's going to be a surplus or a deficit. I mean, right now it looks like, all of the things being equal, we're on track for perhaps a small negative number. Again, it depends on what happens with tax collections.
Well, we're also hearing a lot about a $1.8 billion structural deficit
projected for
2015.
I'll be really blunt. I wish we would stop having that discussion, because legislators of both parties have long misused the way that report was meant to be used, and it isn't a deficit, because there's no assumptions being made about spending for the next 2 years or revenue for the next 2 years. It does suggest what I already said earlier, that in the current 2 years, we are spending more than we're bringing in revenue. But to then call it a deficit and suggest that that's where we're going to be at the end of 2017 is a real rhetorical reach, I think, because typically when you inherit a problem with a budget, you make cuts or you increase taxes when that new budget period begins, and it pretty much changes the nature of the discussion. I mean, that's what Governor Doyle had to do when he came in. That's what Governor Walker had to do when he came in. It is a structural imbalance. It does say we're spending more than we're bringing in, but the way the legislators are talking about this, the way the media is talking about it, they're attaching the word deficit to it, which suggests somehow we're already going to have a deficit in 2 years, and
we get that these numbers are elastic. That's part of what you're saying.
Well,
here,
I'm not even saying that. I'm just saying they're being mislabeled.
But the people want to know, right? Or do we need to start thinking about a budget repair bill?
That will depend on tax collections in the next few months. Yes, as things stand now, we could have a slight deficit to, somewhere between 50, 300 million. I'm literally pulling numbers out of the air. And depending on the size of that, we may need a budget repair bill. Or, as we get toward the end of the calendar year, the governor may say, well, the problem isn't so bad that we can't fine-tune it with, stopping hiring or travel or whatever. That's pretty much what they did with the numbers that just came in. They found a way to squeeze $70 to $80 million out of spending.
Now, in your recent blog post on your website, you laid out two actions that you think the next governor could take to help end Wisconsin's sort of roller coaster budget effect to even the ups and downs, make it more stable. What would you suggest?
Yeah, I mean, and I think this is really more what we should be talking about, because we know that there has been in state law for over a decade language that says we're supposed to have a budget reserve equal to 2% of spending, and no governor or legislator of either party has allowed that law to become effective. They simply keep delaying it. So in many ways, this discussion about do we have a deficit, don't we have a deficit, is sort of silly, because we bring it on ourselves by not implementing that law that has been on the books since the early part of the 2000s. To make matters worse, there is another law on the books that says you cannot have a structural imbalance between revenues and expenditures in the second year of the biennium. And as with the other law, legislators and governors simply say, well, it doesn't apply to this budget. Those two items alone, if we had been living with them for the last 10 to 15 years, we wouldn't be having these constant conversations about deficits, because we would have larger balances and we would have to fix things when they started to get out of whack. And I won't even mention the rainy day fund law that's been around since 1986 that we've never fully used, while other states have been setting aside 5 or 10% of their spending in reserve, we sort of limp along, 1%, 1.5%. So we have the tools on the books. Neither party, neither branch has chosen to use them.
Well, considering that doesn't seem terribly likely to happen, at least in the next year or so, what is your takeaway for this, for these numbers? A little something for everyone here, it sounds like.
Well, yeah, I mean, we do have at the moment a surplus. We are spending more than we're bringing in. We're going to pretty much dissipate that surplus in the next year. We know that for sure. Whether the number ends up slightly positive, mildly negative, or a little more negative really depends on the economy. And like I said, the economy has been stopping and starting for a while.
Anything you'll be watching for in the coming weeks and months to give you a clearer picture, or is this as clear as it gets?
Well, I'll tell you what I would really like to see. I would really like to see the next governor live by state law and propose a budget that includes a 2% reserve, that does not spend more than it brings in revenue in either year of the next budget, and that might actually put money in the rainy day fund before the state law forces them to put it in, which is what's been going on. Again, we have the tools. Are they willing to use them?
Well, Todd, thank you so much for joining us. We've been speaking to Todd Barry, president of the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance. He joined us to help make sense of the state's budget situation heading into the election.